Hey, how about let's put our hands together for Darren and all the crew leading worship this morning. We have, Tubby, don't be talking to me like that in public. So it's tough enough. How many know it's tough enough to fill in for Connor Rice? But then you get here and the projector doesn't work and you have technical issues and your mind is screwed up, and then they just stepped up like a bunch of champs and led worship this morning, you know. So praise the Lord. So we got Connor married off last night after a 17-year courtship. Maybe not quite that long. But let's just right quick, like, he's honeymoon morning. Like, can we make a video and send to him? And y'all all just be like hollering Connor and Kenzie and like talking smack to him. Can y'all do that? Can y'all help me out? All right, look, I'm finna start. Ready? On the count of three, go. One, two, three. It's about time you finally got married, Conrad. Oh, praise the Lord. We better focus now. Yeah. So anyway, sorry about the words. I know we didn't get the words up today, but we're working on it. Promise you, by the end of this month, we got a whole new crew coming in. They're going to have new sound system, new speakers, new projectors, new screens. It's all going to be a whole different ball game in about 30, 45 days. So thank you for your patience. Bear with us in that. So Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, if you got your Bible, your phone, your iPad, however you read the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 1, I encourage you to take out your notepad, your phone, keep some notes today, write down some scriptures, you can read over them tonight when you get home or throughout the rest of the week. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, I'll read those verses and then we'll pray and see what the Lord would say to us. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Verse 15, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints. Paul said, I've heard about your faith. I've heard about your love. Verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. Lord, we just surrender. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our wills. We surrender our preconceived ideas of what today was going to look like. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring the freedom in this room to speak to us and challenge us individually as families and as a church. Lord, right where we are, let this word be real. Let it be relevant. Let us leave here changed because we've heard from your powerful word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, to people that he loves, to people that he knows, to people that he cares about. It's a church that he has planted. He planted this church and he went away planting more churches. He writes this letter back to them. And I love that he says to the church, I've heard about your faith. And I've heard about the love you have for other people. What does that mean, Cody? Paul said, I've heard about you. Here's what it means. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. What that means is our reputation matters. Paul said, I've heard about you. I heard about you that you have great faith. I've heard about you that in the middle of a woke America, you don't give up the faith. I've heard about you. I've heard about you in this politically correct movement. I've heard about you, Church of Ephesus, that you stand strong in your faith. Their reputation preceded them. He said, I've heard about the way that you love one another. How many of you know we're called to love one another? Let me just tell you, some of you, hard to love. Come on, somebody. But I got to love you anyway. Love. You know how the Bible says that you and I will be known to be followers of Jesus Christ? Not by how many scriptures we quote. Not by how long we can pray. We are known by the love that we have for one another. Paul said, I've heard about you. I've heard about your reputation. Let me just tell you right quick, because I hear this all the time. Well, can't nobody judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me the way that I act. Don't judge me in the way that I live. Don't judge me. Can I tell you, we're not to judge each other's salvation, but we are to judge each other's fruit. Come on, somebody. You can look at a pear tree, and if it produces pears, you know that by the fruit it produces, it's a pear tree. You can look at a peach tree, and you can know that if it produces peaches, it's a peach tree. So I can't judge your salvation because your relationship with God is personal. It's between you and God, but I can look at your life, and I can judge the fruit that's hanging from your tree. That's called discernment, and that's called wisdom. Your reputation matters. The way, y'all ready for this? The way you treat people outside of this church matters. The way you treat them, the way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your coworkers, the way you treat the people that work for you. You know, the ones that are less than you, the ones that make less money, the ones that you are, you're a business owner and you're paying them minimum wage. The way you treat them matters. The way your children treat kids in school, the way we conduct our lives matter. Do you realize and do you understand that when you accepted Jesus Christ and you got washed in the blood of the Lamb and you became a born-again believer and you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, when you made that profession of faith, at that moment, you become a representative for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The way we treat people matters. The way we conduct our business. The way we conduct our business. Some of us will come to church and praise God on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning, we're a little crooked in our business ways, and we're doing what we got to do to make the most money we can and try to screw the consumer so that our company can grow big and get rich. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching the paint off the walls to you already this morning. The way we treat people matters. The way we conduct our business matters. The way we raise our family matters. The kind of friends that we're, I'm just telling you, our reputation matters. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. A good name, a good reputation. A good name, a good reputation. I may be broke. I may not have nothing according to this world, but you know what I want to pass to my children? You know what I want to pass to the next generation? A good name. That Cochran. Cochran ain't perfect, and Cochran's a little bit passionate, and Cochran sometimes says some things he shouldn't, and Cochran lets his emotions and his anger overtake, but at the end of the day, Cochran's my man. Cochran is someone that I can trust. Cochran is someone that'll be loyal. Cochran is someone that loves God. Cochran is who he says he is. I want to pass that along to my kids more than anything else. A good reputation, because can I tell you, that's the greatest thing you can pass to the next generation. It's the greatest thing. The greatest thing, Proverbs 20:11, even a child makes himself known by the way he acts. Even a child makes himself known by the way he acts, whether his conduct is pure and upright. How many of you know some of those kids? Come on, somebody. They got the reputation like, oh, my God, here comes them Dixon kids. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God, here comes them Cochran kids. Even children have reputations by the way they act, by the way they respond, by the way they show respect, by the way they listen to adults, even children. You know, our reputation matters. Can I tell you something? One of the struggles that is going on with the younger generations right now, can we just be real and level and be honest? How many know life is tough enough? There's plenty of stuff to overcome in life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Wokeism in America, political correctness, our education system is jacked right now. There's a lot of stuff to overcome. Can I tell you what I've seen in the 22 years that I've pastored? The toughest thing that most of the younger generation have to overcome is the reputation that we've handed off to them. You realize that as parents, as grandparents, we have this weight, we have this responsibility to pass off a good name and a good reputation to our children, that our children shouldn't be fighting past the reputation that's been handed to them. It's tough. So I'm going to move on, but I got a question for you. How are you known? What is your reputation? How are you known? When Paul says, I've heard about you, when they say, I've heard about you, Carrie Fortune, what does that mean? When I've heard about you, Scott, when I've heard about you, Brett, when I've heard about you, Faye Shagan, here's another one for you. How are your children known? Spoiled, rotten, knucklehead, disrespectful, unappreciative. I mean, how are your children? I'm not calling your kids that. If that's the way they act, and if the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm just trying to get you to think right now. How are you known? How are your children known? And then I would ask you this: what kind of reputation are you handing off to your children, or to your grandchildren? Is it one that will elevate them, or is it one that they got to fight for years and years and years to try to overcome? Our reputation matters. Paul goes down, he goes, I've heard about your faith, I've heard about your love. And then he says, you know what? In verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, as I remember you in my prayers. Paul said, I'm thankful for you. He's talking to the church, talking to you guys. I'm thankful for you. And so I'm going to reiterate what Paul said, and I'm going to speak on the behalf of me and Jennifer. We're thankful for y'all. We're thankful for y'all, especially right now, because it was Pastor Appreciation last month. And you gave, and you loved, and you wrote letters, and you wrote cards, and you put money in the plate. And so we just want to say, I'm thankful for you. We really are. We're thankful for the sheep and the few goats that the Lord has given us to oversee. Paul said, I'm thankful for you. Can I just tell you something real quick? If you're thankful for someone, can I encourage y'all? And we're in this world where men, we got to be macho, we got to be tough, and women are guarded because they've been hurt. Can I just say something to you? If you're thankful for someone in your life, let them know you're thankful for them. Let your wife, I mean, like every day, I mean, she's been doing what she's been doing. Just let your wife know, I'm thankful for you. Thankful for all you've done. For your husband, I know he's just a dude, and I know he's, but just tell him, like I'm thankful for you. And like for your kids, if your kids are not heathens and they're not in jail and you're not getting calls late at night, just tell them I'm thankful for you. And children, to your parents who are stable and somewhat functional, and they, you know what, they give you a room and they wash your clothes, tell your parents that you're thankful for them. People, just tell people that you're thankful for them. Let them know. Paul said, I'm thankful for the church. And Paul says, I pray for y'all all the time. Paul said, I'm praying for y'all all the time. How many know there's power in prayer? Prayer, prayer, prayer. Power, there's power in prayer. We neglect the power of prayer. You know what I've heard people say, and I've even said it over the years, that's the most super stupid statement I've ever heard in my life. Well, we've tried everything else. I guess all we can do now is pray. Like, at what point do we go, there is power in prayer. And I am not waiting to the end of the doctor report. I'm not waiting till the end of the wreck to pray. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray right now. Because when I pray, God hears my prayers. And by the blood of Jesus, I can boldly go to the throne of God. And my God is able to answer my prayers. At what point? This famous old missionary named Corrie Ten Boom, she said this one time. Do you use prayer as your steering wheel, or do you use it as your spare tire? That cuts to the heart. Paul said, I pray, pray. I pray for you guys. Let me ask you something. As children of God, we should be praying for the people that we love, the people that we're around. The Bible says pray one for another. And so in this thought of I've heard of you, I heard of your faith, I heard of your love, I'm thankful for you. And he goes, I'm praying for you. I want to ask you guys and girls this question today. Who do you pray for? Who do you pray for? Who do you pray for on a daily basis? Not only who do you pray for, but laser pray for them. Because see, how many of you know, if we are laser focused, it's more powerful than if we just pray this prayer. Oh, God bless Ken. God bless you, boy. God bless you. God bless you, Cody. God bless you. What if we started being focused in our prayers? What if we started being on target? What if we went to the people that we love and said, Tubby, what can I pray for you? What are you struggling with? What if you and I were intentional with our prayers and didn't just throw up a bunch of Hail Marys like the folk over at the Catholic Church? What if we actually named names? What if we said, Tubby? What if we were intentional and wrote out a list and said, Tubby, here's what I'm praying for you. Here's what I'm praying for you. What if we were intentional in our prayers? What if we asked someone, what do you need prayers for, Stanley? And I started praying the same thing that you're praying, and we prayed in agreement and in unity. The Bible says if we pray agreeing on anything, it shall be done. Could we elevate the power of our prayers? I'm just telling you, for me, I have a list. I struggle with prayer. Tubby prays way better than me. I have a list. It says Tubby. She's the first one on the list. It says Will. It says Jesse. It says Clara. Things that I pray for them. Pray for my children. And then it says Connor. You know what I've been praying for Connor? Lord, help that boy, because he's stepping into a new season like he ain't never stepped into before. He's been living 27 years, doing his own thing, doing what he wanted to do, sleeping, cooking. Lord, he's been had to say, yes, babe, whatever you want, and I'll just surrender to you. I've been praying for him. It's for Darren back there. I pray for Darren and then for Katie and for everybody that I'm around, that I'm close to. Like, I got a prayer list, and I pray that. And so I just want to challenge you. If you're like Paul and there's people that you really love, make a prayer list. Make a prayer list and pull it out every day and pray the same thing every day. And then here's what else is cool. When God starts answering those prayers, mark them off the list. Mark them off the list. And I guarantee you, in about a year's time, you'll be looking at your old list and everything will be marked off, because God still answers prayers. It's just good for all of us. Paul, if I can show you what Paul did. Paul wrote a list of what he was praying for the church of Ephesus. He wrote it out. He says, heard of your faith, I've heard of your love, thankful for you, I'm praying for you. And then he goes this, I'm praying that God would give you the spirit of wisdom. He's praying for the church to have wisdom. How many of you know we need more wisdom in our life? We need more wisdom, not wisdom of man, not wisdom of the education system, not wisdom that we can get from this earth. How many of you know we need the divine wisdom that is imparted from God the Father? Wisdom, I'm convinced with all of my heart. I am convinced with all of my heart that you don't need a miracle and you don't need something supernatural. You just need to be wise in the daily decisions you're making, and it will change everything. I need more wisdom. Paul said, I'm praying for the church to be wise. Did you know godly wisdom in our daily walk, wisdom in the way, you ever say something to your wife and like go, oh, crap. I shouldn't have said that right there. You ever say things? You ever do things? You ever send a text message and go, whoop, that wasn't too wise? I'm convinced if you and I will be aware of the wisdom that we can access from God the Father, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, everybody say, that's me. If you lack wisdom, ask and God will give it to you liberally. Ask for wisdom. It will daily, in our daily life, it will be a game changer. It will be a problem solver, and it will be a miracle worker if we just walked out the wisdom of God. Walked out the wisdom of God. Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully how you walk. Not as the unwise, but as wise. Don't walk like somebody that's unwise. How many of you tried that for a lot of years? You walked in like unwise. You walked with no wisdom. You just lived by the seat of your pants. You walked out your emotions, your feelings, whatever was happening. Like that was no good. Like now, choose to walk in wisdom. Simple question. Simple. Ask yourself. Stop for a moment. How many of you act impulsively like me? Come on, somebody. Like when something happens, like I am quick to react and boom, let's just do it. You know what I mean? What if we just stop and go, wait a minute, hold up here. What if we ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do right here? If we just paused, what's the wise thing to do? God will give us wisdom and show us the best decision to make right there. So let me tell you something right quick. Let me tell you something about me. And if you say amen, I'm preaching for like 30 more minutes. I am not real wise. But I'm a whole lot wiser than I used to be. I hang around my son Will that plays drums. He's a little knucklehead. He's a little Cody Cochran, bless his heart. And I say to him all the time, dude, I love hanging out with you for lots of reasons. But the number one reason is you remind me how far I've come over the last 15 years. I'm not real wise, but I'm wiser than I used to be. And I'm not ashamed to tell you this. You know why I am wiser than I used to be? The reason that I'm wiser than I used to be is the same principle that you can apply in your life that will cause you to be wiser than you've ever been before. It's nothing special. You don't have to have a trick. I'm uneducated. I'm a little bit dyslexic. I'm a whole lot ADHD. But let me tell you how you can grow in the wisdom of God is you need to seek God, you need to serve God, and you need to study God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you are seeking. If you have decided that God has saved me and God has changed my life, I'm going to keep seeking Him. I'm going to seek Him like a coon dog seeking an old coon. I'm not going to stop until I get to the bottom. I'm going to keep seeking. And you know what has to happen next? You have to start serving God. You got to serve God, and you got to serve God's people, and then you got to study God, and that's through the Word of God. That will bring wisdom like you've never experienced in your life. A lot of people want wisdom, but they ain't willing to put in the effort to get the wisdom. You got to seek God. Come on, y'all. We seeking the dollar. We seeking the corporate ladder. We're seeking this. We're seeking that for our kids. Seek God. Seek God. Seek God. But that's just step number one. After you start seeking God, you will see that God sent His only begotten Son. And Jesus, when He came on this earth, said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve others. And one of the greatest character qualities of Jesus Christ is that He was a servant, that He served His Father, that He served the whoremongers, that He served the whores, that He served the ones outside of the church. Jesus was a servant. And if you and I want to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, we've got to start serving God. Serving God. Serving God. And can I bust your bubble for a minute? Coming to church on Sunday is not serving God. Just so you know. Because some of us think, oh, well, today's Sunday. I'm going to serve God and get up and go do my duty and show God. Come on, y'all. Give me a break. That's a bunch of crap. You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church because your preacher's handsome. Come on, somebody. You ought to come to church because it's good together. You ought to come to church because there's power in worshiping God. You ought to come to church because God can do something in the middle of the presence of unity of all people. You ought to come to church and you get fired up for when you come to church. And then you ought to start serving people Monday morning. And serve them Tuesday. And serve them Wednesday. And serve God. People, the people that I know in the years that I've pastored, that I see grow, are the ones that serve. Because if you just seek and you find God and then you sit, you become stagnant, you become complacent, and you will stop growing. But when you serve God, you will grow to another level. Seek God, serve God, and then study God. How many of you know, y'all, there's power in the Word of God? If you want to know God, you want to know God's character, you want to know His nature, you've got to read the Word of God. There's not. Let's go. Let's move on. You want to? Paul says, I pray. No, let's don't. Let's don't. You've got to read the Word of God. If you want to grow, you've got to read the Word of God. You know, well, that's what I go to church for. I go to church over there to hear the Word of God. And people say this all the time. Well, I'm just going to switch churches. I'm just not getting fed at that church anymore. Well, I want to cherish my Lord Jesus Christ. At what point do you grow up and start feeding yourself? Are you always going to sit in a high chair and wear your little poo-poo diaper and have your mommy or daddy hold you up and zoom around like an airplane and feed you something? At some point, you got to go, this is my salvation. This is my life. This is my family. And I don't need anybody to spoon feed me. I will feed myself 6 days a week. Sometimes the church gets the baby bird syndrome. I used to tell this story all the time. You see the little baby birds in the nest with the big orange beaks, and they're just chirping, chirp, 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 making lots of racket, and the mama bird has to come and feed them. Here's the question I got to say to you. how healthy do you think those baby birds would be if the mama bird only fed them on Sunday and then let them starve 7 more days and showed back up to feed them again on Sunday morning? If you don't want to be malnourished and if you want to be strong, I will feed you everything the Lord puts on my heart on Sunday morning. But can I tell you, you need the manna of God and you need the word of God on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, and it is your responsibility to take out the time, open up the word of God and study the word of God, because it'll bring power to your life. Yeah, I really kind of expected a little more applause right there than what I got, but that's okay. Paul said, I pray that you would get wisdom and you get revelation. You get understanding of who God is. See, one time in my life, I was worn out, man. I didn't have a real good reputation. My reputation was all around cowboying. My reputation was all around this. And my reputation was passed down from my father. You know, I mean, I was just in this place, and I just needed help. You remember when you just needed help? When you were just drowning in the sea of sin, you were miserable, you couldn't sleep at night, you felt guilty, you felt full of unworthiness and condemnation, and I just needed somebody to save me, y'all. And I remember I had this revelation that my God is Savior. And at the moment I realized he could save me, I cried out, help me, Lord. And in the middle of the sea of sin, God threw out the life preserver to me. He threw out his son, Jesus Christ. And he pulled me out of the mess that I had put myself in. And he pulled me out of the sin. And he pulled me out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on the rock to stay. At that moment, I had this revelation and understanding that Jesus was my Savior. At that moment, that I was ignorant, I was dumb, I was unwise. I just knew he had saved me. That's all I knew about God. But can I tell you something? God is much more than Savior. First and foremost, he's Savior. But can I tell you, he is much bigger than that. And he is much greater than that. That God doesn't just save us so that we can stand on the beach with seaweed hanging off our ears and smelling like dead fish. How many of you know God is our Savior? But since then, I began to seek God, and I began to serve God, and I began to study God, and I begin to now know that God is my Savior, but he is my just Savior as well. There were a lot of bad habits that I had, and there were a lot of addictions that I had, and I just couldn't break them off myself. I just kept going back to them like a dog returning to his vomit. But once Jesus saved me and I studied him and I realized who he was, I got set free from the bondage of sin, because God not only is my Savior, but he is my deliverer as well. Not only is God my Savior, not only is he my deliverer, but the more that I studied God and the wiser I got in the Word of God, I began to understand that Jesus is not only my Savior and my deliverer, but he is my healer as well. I've watched him heal people. I've watched him heal my family. I've watched him heal people from this church. God is an almighty God. I got a greater revelation of who God was, the more wisdom I got of him. God is bigger. God is greater. He is my provider. We've been broker than a stepped on Oreo. Come on, somebody. We've been so broke when we started out. I had this job and that job. I had 6 jobs, and I was driving over here to pastor a church of 13 people, and those 13 hated me, and I hated them, and I was making $50 a week and was about to be broke and was homeschooling, and Jennifer wasn't teaching, and we ate a lot of beans and cornbread on Sunday and then cornbread and sweet milk on Monday. Come on, somebody. But God has always provided. He's never let us down. We've never went hungry. We've never missed a mortgage. We've never had to go bankrupt. God is my Jehovah Jireh and my provider as well. The more I seek God, the greater fast, the more I understand the power of God. He is my protector. How many of you know you should have been dead? Come on, somebody. But God protected you. He is my sustainer. God sustains me. People say to me all the time, like, Cody, you ain't real deep, but you really, really passionate about what you do. You're passionate about the Lord. How do you stay so passionate? How do you stay so fired up? How do you stay so full of pee and vinegar? And I say, you know what? Because God is my sustainer. Because can I just tell you, as a pastor, you get discouraged. As a pastor, sometimes people mistreat you. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you the struggles that you have, I have too. And people misunderstand you and they misaccuse you. And you know what? Sometimes you just want to throw in the towel and give up and you don't even know what. But I'm telling you, I have learned over the years. years, if you just go back to God and say, help me, God, he will sustain you and raise you up to fight the good fight of faith, no matter what kind of struggle you're facing. God is everything. He is our all in all. And here's the problem. I'm preaching way too long this service. Here's the problem. Most people get the wisdom and revelation to understand that God is Savior, and he throws them the preserver, pulls them out on the beach, and they stop and they stay right there. Once we get out of the wreck we're in, we're just like going to keep doing what we're doing, living the way we always live, thinking the way, and we never understand him as deliverer, as protector, as provider, as healer. We just stay in one stagnant place. We've got to continue seek, serve, and study if we want to grow in the wisdom of God. I got to get you out of here. Sorry. Be careful. Paul prayed for wisdom and revelation because here's what the enemy, I'll say this last point and I'll be done. Here's what the enemy does to people in church. Can I tell you this right quick because I love you? Paul's praying for the church. That you would have wisdom, that you would have revelation, that the eyes of your heart would be opened. Because how many of you know the enemy will come attack our hearts? Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. And the eyes of our heart get darkened. We don't see God in his fullness. We don't see God in his greatness. Our hearts get hard, and it poisons everything in our life. Because you know what the enemy does? You know what Satan does? Satan don't mind you coming to church. He don't mind you playing some kind of game, because here's what he'll do. If he can't get you to deny the faith, John 14:20 says, he will blind the eyes and harden the hearts of God's people. Many people in church, can I be honest with y'all? You're in church, but the eyes of your heart are darkened and you don't see God for who he really is. Your heart has grown hard. The enemy has attacked. He's hardened your heart. And so the enemy just lets you keep coming to church and playing some game with a hard heart and with your eyes darkened. Because he'll wind up destroying you right there. And so here's what Paul says. I just pray that your eyes stay open and your heart stay soft. Can I challenge you? Keep your heart softened towards the Lord. Conrad, come help me. I mean Conrad. Conrad ain't here. Conrad's on his honeymoon. Sleeping this morning. Darren, would you please come help me? Paul said, I want your eyes to be open and your heart to be soft. Paul says, I want you to know the immeasurable power of God. Can I tell y'all something? Look at me right quick. I know they're handsome, but can I gotta close out. Paul said, I want you to know the immeasurable power of God. Do you understand the power of God that's living inside of you today? Do you understand? Like, it's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. It's priceless, the power of God. Sometimes the enemy will harden our heart and close our eyes, and we say, oh, God can do this, but God can't do that. Can I tell you, God can do all things. And if you and I can adopt this attitude and keep a heart towards God, don't matter what the doctor says, here's what my God says. Don't matter what my ex-spouse says, here's what God says. It don't matter what the government says, God's inside of me. We got to get our eyes and our hearts opened up to the immeasurable power of God. What's immeasurable, y'all? Like me and Tubby, we don't have the greatest, we don't have the perfect, sorry, babe. We don't have the perfect relationship, but I trust her with my whole heart. Measurable. Trust her. She's not going to hurt me. Trust her. She's not going to be unfaithful to me. That's immeasurable. That's priceless. It's priceless. I got a handful of friends. They're my friends to the bitter end. They love me when I'm good. They love me when I'm bad. They love me when I screw up. They love me when I get it right. They love me when I'm kind. They love me when I'm mean. They're my friends. That friendship, it's immeasurable. It's priceless. I can't explain it. And we got to get back to a place where we know the power of God is immeasurable. It is priceless.
When we know who God is, when we know that God lives inside of us, nothing can get in our way. Nothing can discourage us. Nothing can bring depression. Nothing can cause anxiety. Nothing can hinder us. Nothing can stop us, because we know that the greatest force that has ever happened in the whole wide world lives inside of me. And if God be for me, who shall be against me? We got to fall back in love with the immeasurable power of God. I'll close with this. You know what kind of power of God lives inside of you? Ephesians 1:20. This is the power that lives inside of you, John. The power that lives inside of you. The power that lives inside of you, Breckenridge. Hunter, the power. Ephesians 1:20. The same power that worked in Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead. How many believe Jesus was raised from the dead? The same power that raised up Jesus from the dead lives inside of me and you today. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is far above any rule, far above any authority, power, and dominion, and has a name that is above every name. And God put everything under his feet and gave him head to all things of the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills us all in all. Jesus' power is immeasurable, and it's inside of me and you. Stand on your feet. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this moment, for this service. Lord, I pray you speak to us about our reputation today, because our reputation really does matter, because we're representing you. Speak to us and challenge us today about seeking you, serving you, and studying you. And then, Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and give us wisdom to understand how powerful you really are, that there's nothing that can stand against your power. Speak to us and challenge us as we close today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord, y'all.